Album club.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm actually full of cold and illness. Not corona so far, though.
But you got a COVID test and it was negative?
Yeah, but I'm going to keep doing them because Joe, my housemate, got tested. And he was doing home tests as well. And he would get negative, negative, negative. And then he got a positive. And he had all the symptoms of COVID.
Have you got the vid, Matt?
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's not, I'm not coughing.
When did it start?
Last night.
Oh. See, the thing that made me know that I have it is when I started shivering and getting the chills. Because the only other time I've ever had that is after my second vaccine. And so when I was still waiting to get a test and I started like just freezing. I was like so cold that in the middle of the night, I had to like run and put on a sweater and I couldn't even zip it up because my hand was like this. And I'm like, this is definitely something else.
Yeah, well, I'll see. I mean, I got my vaccines and I didn't get any symptoms of COVID at all.
Yeah, I was fine with my jabs. I think we're just made of sterner stuff than you, Zach.
Yeah. Well, actually, I had my booster over the weekend. And I was terrified because my second vaccine was rough, but it was nothing. I even played hockey that night. And I kept thinking that I was going to, like, I don't know, get really sick. My stamina is so bad. So, like, I started feeling a bit nauseous. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get really bad. But no, it's just nauseous because my stamina sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to a gig at the weekend and I was jumping around. And I felt so sick and knackered for, like, half an hour after. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I'm like, geez, I need to get exercise going again.
Bring the mosh pit.
Yeah, of course.
Really, like beating the shit out of people.
No, it's not a violent one. It was just people like jumping around, and, like you just move with the crowd and that.
I hate mosh pits because I just want to like hear the music, right? And so I was trying to be either before the mosh pit or just behind it. But if you're behind it, people will just randomly like bump into you sometimes.
I thoroughly avoid any moshing. I hate the idea of just being pushed around.
Yeah, yeah, it's not like pushing each other like the one I was at. It's literally just people just jumping up and down, like the crowd just really lively.
Oh, they weren't
like pushing each other, like not like kicking each other and stuff, but it was like a lot of bouncing around, like my calf's still fucking
sounds like one of those like 80s workouts to like music, like working at the calves.
Oh, yeah. So I was jumping up and down so much, honestly. My calves haven't seen this much action for ages. Like dying.
You look like those 118 people, the exercise people.
Oh, yeah.
The Simmons? Is that it?
The Simpsons? No, it's from an advert.
No, Richard Simmons is what I said.
Oh, right.
All right, you guys want to talk about some of these albums?
Yeah, why not?
That's what we're here for, is it not?
That was the gig, Johnny, sorry.
That was good, yeah. It was just carnage.
Who was it again?
It was my cousin's band, Deja Vega.
I do like the name Deja Vega. Like, it sticks in my head.
Tell you what, something that was pretty mad. I got the train in and got off at Oxford Road. And as I walked down the station onto, like, to where the venue was, some bloke walked past and he's like, oh, you're going to the gig? And I'm like, yeah. I noticed he was, like, had a North American accent. So I'm like, oh, where are you from? And they're from, him and his missus, from Utah.
Right.
Massive fans of the band, sort of based their vacation around seeing them.
What?
Because they've never played America, so they've seen them five times. Like, because they're on tour over a week, so they've seen them at five different venues, finishing off in Glasgow, which I think was Sunday night, and then they're spending like a few more days in Scotland exploring there before going back to the States.
That's insane.
Yeah, so they basically followed the band. I think it went London, Birmingham, Leeds, Manchester, Glasgow, and saw them every single night.
Wow.
And then I guess just hung out and saw the cities during the day. Yeah, getting their fill. I'm like, geez, that is commitment.
Yeah, that is. That's a super fan. That's Mel from Flight of the Conchords level.
All the way from Utah as well. Imagine that's still like a good like 10-hour flight at least.
Insanely hipster that they've gone for this niche. What is for Utah a niche band based in Manchester?
Was it James that was saying his parents won some like backstage pass to a George Michael show or something? And then so they're like, they spoke to the other people backstage and then everyone's kind of being friendly. And then someone asked him, like, how many George Michael shows have you seen? And they're like, oh, this is our first. And apparently everyone gave him, like, death stares. And they're like, we've been following his tour for months. And people are like, yeah, like, I, like, missed my daughter's birthday to go see him. And they're with all these, like, super fans.
I can imagine that being quite toxic.
This is interesting because I saw, like, on Reddit, there's a post about, like, oh, like, gatekeeping is what they call it.
Yeah.
Where people are fans of something. I might have even posted. I mean, but when you post on Reddit, you always just, like, never get a reply because it's always too late.
Yeah.
But I was like, my perspective on that is kind of like, yeah, you shouldn't be, like, a dick about it. But it can be kind of, like, lonely being, like, super, super into something and not having anything to talk about. So let's say if someone tells me, like, oh, I'm a fan of, like, the Eagles or something like that.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm like, oh, this might be a person who, like, knows all the little ins and outs and, like, also would love to talk about it. And then you get kind of disappointed when they're just someone else who knows all the, just the hits, which is fine. But there's a bit of, like, oh, like, I guess I'll just keep listening by myself, you know?
Here's a good question. Which out of Johnny and I are the most like that?
The most like what?
Like, if you were to talk to me about the Beatles, I think I would be like, well, Hotel California and Desperado.
You mean overall in all bands?
Yeah.
Just in-
yeah.
I mean, I kind of
putting you on the spot for some fun.
I feel like Johnny seems to know a lot about music. Yeah. Well, not that you don't, but I feel like I'm more surprised at some of the things that Johnny knows. Not that I think you are like that. I just think Johnny's especially not like that.
That was a very polite compliment. Yeah.
Johnny, how much do you know about the Dire Straits album?
I read a little bit into it. I didn't know too much before. I only knew three songs.
Which songs did you know?
Brothers in Arms, Walk of Life, Money for Nothing, the hits.
So I knew the last two you said, Walk of Life and Money for Nothing. But the funny thing is, I didn't know either of them were by Dire Straits.
Oh, no?
Yep. Who did you just not know, or did you think it was someone else?
I didn't know both of those songs were also by the same artist. Like, I they're just songs that I knew, but I never, like, listened to them on my own, so.
Well, one thing, I didn't know quite a few things about this album as well. Like, I didn't know, for instance, that Money for Nothing's about 7 minutes long, because I'd only ever heard, like, the three-minute radio edit version.
The whole album has a lot of, like, 80s prog rock influence where they'll just keep going.
Yeah.
This,
I really like the long build-up.
What, to Money for Nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys know it's Sting singing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that until...
Yeah, I actually found that out the other day because I was watching a show because Paramount and MTV and stuff, if you watch one of their shows, it has the MTV bit at the beginning and they sing the Sting bit as, like, their, like, logo. And so I'm like, I wonder who sings that bit because it doesn't sound like Mark Knopfler. So I looked it up and, realized it was Sting.
Yeah, the lyrics for that song, I was just driving along and then hear, some of the slurs. And I was like, did I hear that right? What am I listening to? But even that aside, I was just, like, re-listening to it today. And I'm like, okay, even if it didn't have, those weird lines, it also, the chorus is just, we have to sell microwave ovens and refrigerators and TVs. And I'm like, this is also, like, a weird thing to be listening to.
Do you know what it's about?
No, but I'm like, is this meant to be, like, for, like, a happy Matt, or something?
You seem to know, so you can tell them.
Mark Knopfler overheard, I think this is right, overheard a guy in a warehouse talking about Dire Straits. And the song is him complaining how...
I know, when Dire Straits...
Was it not?
It was, I don't think it was, I think it was a big appliance store, and it was when Keller TVs were, like, just starting to come out and get big there, and they had the, when they used to stack them up, so there was walls, all used to play MTV, and it was one of the workers commenting on the singer that he saw on MTV. That's why he was, like, calling him slurs, because he's proper, like, kind of, like, 80s backwards working class.
Like bitter. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it mentions, like, playing his guitar on the MTV and then, like, having the jet plane and stuff.
Yeah.
And apparently he said the line money for nothing and chicks for free as well, but not.
Very good wording of that statement there. That was like chess.
Staying away from controversy.
That's the way you do it. Get your money. nothing but your checks for free. We got to install microwave oven, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. We got to move these color TVs.
My opinion of that is that I didn't know all that story. So when I, and I feel like, you know, most people wouldn't if they're listening on the radio. So when I heard the word, I was just like, well, you know? Yeah. So what whether or not like? I knew the story, if that would have changed my mind, I don't know.
What were you like when you heard it?
Well, I was driving alone. So obviously I wasn't too embarrassed or anything, but I was just like, huh, that's kind of weird.
I wanted you to make that noise again. That amused me. But yeah, there's big furore still about whether it should be censored on the radio or not. And I think in Canada particularly, it kicked off. There was something I read online where certain radio stations like refused to censor it because of the context it was used in or something. And I can't remember the ins and outs, but I think it'll be on the Wikipedia page for sure.
I understand the context argument. I don't have really any strong opinions about that. My point was just that if it's a song, you don't even like it's hard to even get the context. If it's like a novel, at least everyone knows context. Yeah. But
it's similar to the Pogues, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just Actually, when Dustin Kensrew covered that song, I remember he changed the line because he has like a little Christmas album.
They've changed it on here.
Have they?
On radio in the UK. I think before 9 PM, they say, "You're cheap and you're haggard."
But then after 9, they play the original.
I think so. Maybe.
I think it depends on
the
station.
Maybe they've changed the line. Maybe they've just changed it. That's what happened in Delhi.
Speaking of that song by the Pogues, "Fairy Tale of New York," you know how it's one of the famous like duets? They weren't in the same room. Apparently they recorded totally. I think the song was initially like the guy recorded it, all of it, and then they sent it to the girl to sing. When you hear it, you almost imagine them in the same room playing off each other, but no, it was actually done afterwards, I think. Unless I read that wrong.
Fair play. The Pogues. I've actually been listening to a lot of the Pogues recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I'm the one who only knows Hotel California because I only know Fairy Tale of New York, I think.
Well, I only know, listening to.
I only know that in Dirty Old Town.
Dirty Old Town, that's written about Manchester, that.
Salford, mate.
Salford.
Yeah, same thing. Speaking of Salford, I just found out, Johnny, that the singer from the Ting Tings is from Salford. Or Salford, right?
The Ting Tings.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's not my name.
Why were you looking at the Ting Tings?
Because the song was playing recently. Like, I remember that song. And then I'm like, I wonder what they've been up to besides that one song. And I just Googled them and it came up. It might have been you, Johnny, that called her by the wrong name. And then she wrote that song about you.
Yeah, it could have been. Imagine being that guy. Just genuinely forgot her name.
To be fair, there's this girl that I know from Salford. It's definitely not the lead singer of the Ting Tings. And every time I get drunk, I completely forget her name and think it's something else. And honestly, I've met her well over 5 times now. And I constantly call her the wrong name and she gets so angry. And understandably so, because there's no excuse, but I just get it wrong when I'm drunk. It's weird.
It's like a Salford thing. People just can't remember names there.
What else? What's your favourite song on the album then? Go on.
So my favourite song is probably Brothers in Arms, the last one.
Oh, yeah.
But so do you know what? I didn't love this album.
No?
No. I thought it was pretty mediocre. Not mediocre. It was good, but I just can't believe it's a classic. And it is a classic. It's considered a classic. But if you hadn't told me that, I would have think it's just like a pretty standard 85 classic rock album.
On the contrary, I really liked it. I liked it way more than I thought I would. Yeah, because I don't listen to too much classic rock like this. And it surprised me how much I enjoyed it.
There weren't any songs I didn't like. It's just that all the songs, they're pretty repetitive. And Mark Knopfler is not a great singer, or at least doesn't use his voice. He just sings in the same register the whole time. So it's like, it is kind of nice to, I guess, have on while you're doing something else, but it didn't really grip me that much. It was just kind of there. And I liked a lot of the, you know, the landscapes that the songs painted, but for example, today I was just shopping and I just had it on. I'm like, yeah, it's good. Just while I'm shopping, this is some nice music to listen to. Oh, something that I noticed. Do you remember how I said when a song says right or wrong, it'll always then say wrong or right? They do that in Ride Across the River. Right becomes wrong and left becomes right.
Right becomes wrong and left becomes right.
And so I was like, you know what we should do? At this point, we should try and we should keep a list of songs that don't do that, that say right or wrong and then don't say the opposite.
That'd be so hard to spot, though.
There's one that I can think of by Marcus Foster.
What does it go like?
It just goes, but I was wrong, so wrong. Whatever makes you blind makes you strong.
And right.
Yeah, he just like whispers it. I just couldn't hear it. The Man's Too Strong, that song. That sounds very like a Western song. That's kind of cool.
It sounded a lot like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Really Johnny Cash vibes.
It also has some cool major minor interplay. So the kind of stabbed chords in the chorus, sometimes they're major. I think they did it twice, and then it's a minor, and that was cool.
Yeah. What did you guys think of Walk of Life?
Oh, what a bop. Love that tune.
What a bop. I enjoyed strolling to it. That's how I consume music now. I put earphones on and can walk around. Well, just go for a walk.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I enjoyed walking to Walk of Life, which...
That was like when I was driving with my mom and my dad with the I Love My Mama song. Walking to Walk of Life. And you do the walk of life. Yeah, you do the walk of life.
What did you think of the album, Matt?
I thought it was quite nostalgic. It was something that my dad would put on in the car on the way to, like, Dubai.
But yeah, definitely for my mum, she would have done that as well. She's seen Dire Straits a few times. She loves them.
Yeah, my brother and dad went a couple of times in Dubai to see him.
My mum went back in the... I can't remember how old I was, but it was when I lived in Ardafra, so around that age. Was that about 10, 11-ish? They were playing in Dubai, and Mark Knopfler did a charity auction on Radio 2 for his guitar, and he'd signed it. It was like a phone-in auction, and so my mum phoned in, and she got too excited and just started bidding more and more money. And my dad was just like, give up, hang up, give up. It got to into the tens of thousands of dirhams.
Oh, my God.
And my dad's just like, it's not worth it. It's a guitar. It's only got value because he's played it and written on it. It's fine. And then out of nowhere, what I'm going to presume was a wealthy Emirati phoned in and quadrupled the bid in one go. And everyone was just like, nope. So it was his.
I remember hearing a story. I think my dad saw this in a newspaper that someone bid on a guitar that was signed by someone very famous, Jimmy Page or someone like that. And it had his autograph, and the guy got the guitar, started playing it, and he had long sleeves on, and he was playing it, and it wiped off the signature.
that sounds like one of the urban legend things.
It does, you're right. Yeah. What was cool,
if that did happen, regardless, the idea of it is hilarious, especially if they dropped a bomb on it.
What was cool is when Metallica came to Abu Dhabi, I think we were in uni already, Mike's brother, he's an amazing guitar player. They had this competition that anyone in UAE if you like post a cover of one of our songs, we'll pick the winner and give you a free guitar. And Mike's family, well, Mike and his brother are like Metallica super fans, like the same way that I am with certain bands. So they, you know, they've been playing Metallica their whole lives. So, you know, he like prepared some amazing song and he won. So he has like a Metallica signed guitar. And I was like, are you going to play it? Or is it for display? And he's like, that's the question I can't answer. Like, I don't know. I want to play it, but I don't at the same time. Last thing that I had to say about this album, maybe you guys have more, is that the song One World, I think it might use the Lydian mode, which is kind of like a musical jargon thing, but I'm not sure about that, but it sounds like it does. So basically a mode is like when you play a scale, so for example in this case a major scale, but you don't focus on the first note, so like the A scale starts on A, the B scale starts on B, whatever. This is like if you were to play the A scale but start on a different note, and then but all the notes are the same relative to each other. One of those is the Lydian scale, and I think that One World uses it, and it sounds very space agey. For example, like the Jetsons theme song is in Lydian. It sounds very like kind of space agey.
The Jetsons.
Like meet George Jetson.
Oh yeah,
that's such a throwback.
Yeah.
Now, talk about animation. The Walk of was it the Walk of Life music video or Money for Nothing was one of the first music videos to use animation to have the animated characters singing the song. Apparently,
I'm guessing it would be Money for Nothing. Cause, I've not seen that for years, but it rings a bell for that.
And it works.
Walk of Life's sports veils.
And apparently, that decision was made by his girlfriend, like at the time, was just kind of convinced them to do it for MTV. They were really pushing it.
I love that people nowadays, like if she told them, everyone would just be like, oh yeah, 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 of course. Like some old lady going, yeah, I convinced him to do that. I convinced him to use that there. And I'd be like, oh, sure, grandma, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, Sharon, I'm sure you did.
There's some girl that, I think the song Layla and the song, a Beatles song.
Something.
Yeah, is that it?
Yeah.
She has two like all-time classic songs written about her.
Yeah. And that relationship was mad. So George Harrison was best friends with Eric Clapton. She left him for Eric Clapton. They remained best friends. They remained good friends.
Bros before hoes was born that day.
That's, yes, it was actually a scouser who said
a direct quote from George Harrison.
Yeah.
I guess overall this album, my thoughts lastly, I thought it was a good but not great. I'm kind of surprised it's a classic, but I liked Brothers in Arms because I thought that was a song that they painted a really cool atmosphere. And I kind of liked that, the kind of moody, dark tones. And I kind of wish they did a bit more of that.
We're fools to make war on our brothers in arms.
Obviously, Mark Knopfler is a great guitar player, and that all of his guitar, like little licks and like little fills and stuff, are really, really impressive. But I don't know, I think it's not enough to make up for just the generic nature of the rest of it, which is still good, but I didn't love it.
I don't think it's, well, my favorite Dire Straits, I want to say song because I don't know the album, is Romeo and Juliet. So I wouldn't say that this is my favorite Dire Straits collection.
You were just saying that your parents like their song together is Romeo and Juliet.
Song, yeah, which is a tragic romance. So, yeah, it's a bleak outlook.
Well, you know that the song by Sting, "Every Breath You Take, Every Step You Take," That song's about a stalker.
Yeah.
And people always choose it for their first dance song. And even Sting's like, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
Going back to Romeo and Juliet, have you guys ever heard the Killers cover they did for it, I think, on Sawdust?
I have indeed.
Yeah, I really like that cover. Good tune.
Good tunes.
All right, Johnny, so sum up this album for us.
I really liked it. Guess you guys didn't as much, but overall it seems like it was a thumbs up from us in terms of good or bad.
It's not very polarizing, you know? It's not going to make too many people not like it. Oh, did you guys see that we have listeners in, like, Singapore and Mexico and stuff?
No, I've not checked the stats for a long time, to be honest.
We have listeners in Singapore and Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Thing is, they might be using VPNs, is what Mitchell mentioned, so I'm like, it's probably more likely.
Yeah. I like to think that we're big in Singapore and Mexico.
Yeah.
We're about to have our 200th listen. This is pretty good, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not as bad as I've not looked for a long time. So hello, listeners out there. Listen to the three of us.
I've actually been playing a lot of GTA and listening to Mexican music, so maybe for our Mexican fan, I'll recommend some Mexican tunes. Mexican album or something.
I think listeners in Mexico might know more about Mexican music than us.
By playing GTA and listening to Mexican music, have you been like just listening to the Mexican radio station on GTA, or have you actually been like playing Mexican music?
To be fair, I do like a few Mexican bands as is, but I've been listening to more, like more of the radio station and some of the bands from there. Like at the minute, this morning I was listening to Fandango, which was a Mexican 80s girl group that I really like.
It's the most hipster thing you've ever said in your life.
As catchy as anything.
Find it on the GTA radio stations.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have an interesting thing to say about that as we go on today. I've told Matt my selection is going to be really out there for my next album.
Mine's quite left field as well.
I've also been getting into KEXP. Hey there.
Yeah, KXP is awesome.
There's one, Alex Turner does one, and he speaks like the guy from Parks and Rec. Hey there. Thank you for tuning in to KXP Radio Seattle.
That was one from like the AM era, right?
Yeah.
Like he had his glasses, leather jacket on. Yeah, I wonder what their next album and like style is going to be, because you know how like...
Coming soon.
Yeah. But like with AM, there's all like leather jackets. Then with Last Shadow Puppets, I guess that was a bit like, I don't know, tracksuits. And then before then, it was like weird, like what, 80s, 70s? What would you even call that?
Yeah, they'll mix it up. They do with every album they do. Your guess is as good as mine.
I think they're going to go straight back to rock, like hard stadium style rock. That's my thinking.
But I think someone posted like, just finished up doing strings or something on their album, or cello even, maybe. So maybe not.
Yeah,
maybe not, but maybe so. I had a thought, Zach.
Did you really?
You know how you had to change the album cover because of copyright?
Yeah.
When, podcast artwork.
Yep.
I reckon we could make some sort of collage of all the pictures that you've sent through of the Zoom chats.
Oh, I love it.
And you know how you can get like, you could just get all of them and just like repeat it to you. So it's that thing. And then you shade a few different ones. So it says like what the thing through the color shading or something like that.
Yeah, do it. I mean, I hate the new one because I love the one of Bill Clinton. I thought it was hilarious. But yeah. So then.
Ever specify who was going to sue there?
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Was it Bill? Was it the person who took it?
Well, and it's funny because I think like an email popped up saying copyright, and I'm like, oh, like I guess we're done. I guess we got found out. And then it's like the album artwork is copyright. I'm like, that's the one thing I thought wouldn't get copyrighted, because you're supposed to share that, right? And I did edit it myself because I couldn't find a way to type in question marks. So I actually had to like Photoshop question marks and rotate them and stuff. Makes no sense to me.
Should have let them take you to court, mate.
Yeah.
Well, they just keep taking it down. So, yeah, no, if you want to do that, go ahead. I'm just bad with Photoshop, so, or at least not
with... Did they actually threaten to take it down or what?
I mean, I think it was some automated message, but I would think that they would. Best stay away from that.
No, I would have played with fire and left it. Come for us, Bill.
Come for us, Bill.
Actually, to be fair, that guy's got away with so much before, we'd be fucked if he went to court.
Could you imagine if he was actually like, hey, I can't do his accent. That's my pick. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, getting like, yeah, what's it called? Like when he gets served by one of his Secret Service agents. Men in Black, his sunglasses on.
Matt, you can do accents. Do Bill Clinton complaining about copyright.
No, do you know, I was thinking in my head, I really don't know how to do Bill Clinton.
Mm.
He's kind of croaky, isn't he?
He's got like a real deep southern accent as well.
Yeah.
Like Arkansas accent.
Right, should we talk about the second album?
Yeah, let's get it going.
Silk Sonic. Matt, what did you think?
I thought it was quite a fun album. It was fun. It was quite a beat. I liked 777. That was my favourite one. What did you guys think of that?
I thought it had good energy. Yeah, that's what I wrote down.
That song was also one of my favourites. It took me a while to figure out what it was about, which is, I don't know, it took way too long because I wasn't thinking about it. So at first I thought it was like a 777, like a Boeing 777. That was the first thing that came to my head, like a plane. But obviously it's about gambling, right? Like it's about the slot machine thing when it comes up 777. It was funny when I was driving because I talked to Google and to ask it what to play. So I think once I asked to play that song, play 777. And it was like, all right, playing 777 by Silk Sonic.
Do you have your set to jeans? Well, I didn't know that.
The guitar was cool. It's like it's very compressed in that song, so it sounds like, I don't know, the intro. And then I like the phrasing of the verse in that song, the way Bruno Mars like lays out the rhythm of the melody. Last thing to say about that song is I think the yelling gets a little annoying at times. So I think I was driving on the highway and I was trying to change lanes and they're just like yelling in the chorus and I'm like, this is, I'm going to crash. Come on, 777, let's go. Why does Anderson .Paak always say "Yes, Lord"? Like he does in his solo stuff.
That's his catchphrase.
Yeah, he's got a catchphrase.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a rarity. He's got a catchphrase.
Yeah, he's been saying that since he was unsigned. Yeah, it's just his thing.
Mm.
Yeah, he just loves the Lord.
Yes, loud.
Yes, Lord Almighty.
That was cool.
I agree. I think it was a really good catchy song. And Skate. I kind of like the I liked After Last Night, but I kind of like the end of the album better than the start. But I know it was only a small thing, but I enjoyed the intro.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty catchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like how it set up the album.
I thought the same thing, Matt. You're saying it's like a fun album. I like how Bootsy Collins is like the host and like pops in at random times to like check in.
He named them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't have a name for their project when they started, and then he listened to them and he thought that Silk Sonic was an apt name.
Mm.
Yeah, it's funny how the fact that there is a host is funny. And it's funny how they introduce
it. It sounds like a TV show. They've got a host, a catchphrase.
Yeah. And they introduce him as like Master of the Universe, and then it goes like Master of the Universe. It's about that time to get out your seats and make some noise for our host. Give it up for Bootsy Collins. Well, all right. It is I, Blaster of the Universe. Bootsy himself.
way to the stage for a band that I name Silk Sonic.
Just fun, yeah.
Yeah, there was a good humor to this album, kind of very James Brown-y, because he could be a bit humorous in his songs, and they kind of picked up on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of tongue-in-cheek and just like a bit of fun for them rather than something overly serious.
So, Matt, you like the end of the album. Johnny, how about you?
The opposite. I prefer the start, really. I think Flyers Me was my favourite song. That was the most pack. I've never been much of a Bruno Mars fan. He was really talented and stuff, but it just didn't seem to like click with me that much. So that one was mostly like a song that Anderson .Paak would do himself.
Yeah. So
that's one I think that naturally I lent towards.
Yeah, Fly is Me is probably my favorite song. That or Skate. Fly as Me sounds like the chorus sounds a lot like Eric Hutchinson. I'm not sure. I mean, you guys probably wouldn't think that, but it even sounds like him. Like even the quality or the tone of his voice. I was like, is that Eric? Like, yeah.
A specific song or just his sound in general?
When I hear his goes like, I deserve the way he sings deserve. I feel like he sometimes doesn't pronounce R very much. And so it just made me think of him. As in, to the fact that sounds exactly like him. Just that one word.
I'll listen back and see.
I'm trying to love. Is you gonna love me back? You only get what you give. Ain't you earning that? Look here, I don't ask for much. You know what I want. I just want what's fair. I'll bring that fire and desire, baby. All you gotta do is meet me halfway there. I deserve to be with somebody as fly as me. Somebody this fly. And you deserve to be seen.
And then, the lyrics are kind of, you know, playful, cool. Like, it's like we're back in school again. Now, come on, children, that was cool. The way he says Monte Carlo, like, kind of changes his accent a bit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the bass line is really cool in that song. Like, kind of drags behind the beat. And was that the song where Anderson .Paak's like, and I'm gone? Yeah. And then he's like, and I'm back. It, like, chord changes, like modulates. And then he comes back. So, all this funny stuff.
Matt, you mentioned After Last Night before, didn't you? I couldn't get over like hearing that song. It reminded me so much of do you remember the Lonely Island songs with Justin Timberlake? They did like three of them. Dick in a Box, Mother Lover, and I think the Three-Way Rule with Lady Gaga. And they're all like that same. This it reminded me so much of one of those songs.
I can't say that Dick in a Box came into my head. I can't,
no, not so much Dick in a Box. Like Mother Lover.
Yeah. Well, Matt, weren't you saying that you got into like songs that were like a bit like romantic and a bit like what's the word I'm looking for? Saucy.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be up your alley because
yeah,
that song's very raunchy.
Yeah, I've got a gone past through my raunch. I've launched out. I've not listened to, but I do enjoy a raunchy song. I think it's when they don't take themselves too seriously and they're just a bit funky like that. I find it's quite funny.
That song was also one of my more one of the ones I like more. Especially like that wah-wah guitar. Like it's so, that made it very raunchy. And that one has Thundercat in it, right? So it does all these like little weird prog rocky things, especially after the chorus. After the choruses, it does like a little prog rock kind of weird thing for a few seconds, almost like Dream Theater. It sounds almost like a video game music before it gets back to the verse.
You put it on me like I never felt before. That gushy, gushy, good girl, I want some more. Sweet, sticky, thick, and pretty. I'm
I like Thundercat. Talking of him, you know he's supporting Red Hot Chili Peppers when they play Emirates Old Trafford, like a big cricket ground here.
When's that?
Like not the kind of like band or musician that I would have expected to be supporting someone like that. They've got him and ASAP Rocky.
Well, that's almost that's almost like a traveling festival.
Yeah, so would have assumed like it would have been like another kind of similar rock alternative rock band, not like sort of like funk bassist and a rapper.
Skate was funny. So, well, not that funny, but about Skate is I heard it when I was watching a hockey game, and like the commercial came, and you know how like the channels will like kind of have like a little outro before the commercial, and then it was playing Skate, like the song. And I'm like, oh, that's Silk Sonic. And I'm like, oh, I know why they're playing it, because it's called Skate and I'm watching a hockey game.
Oh, right.
So that's kind of meta.
So is it already, because I don't think I've heard this being played around the UK, but I've not really been out in the UK. So no, is it like already quite spreading in the States?
The song it's got like, a big album.
Yeah, it's got like 110 million listens on Spotify, and YouTube's got like, yeah, like tens of millions of views.
Leave Your Door Open was a big hit. I've heard that in the UK loads.
Yeah, so Skate, I think Skate and Fly Is Me are my two favorite. Skate, yeah, has like a funny, interesting way to express like romance. And I was like the kind of like, I'm trying to float, I'm trying to glide lines.
Ooh, it's like you do it for a living.
There's a really good guy on YouTube called Charles Cornell, and he's like a jazz pianist, but he like analyzes songs musically. But he's like really, he's like, seems like a really cool guy, like kind of funny, chill. And he talks about, he has one video about Skate and one video about Leave the Door Open. He has a video in each, and he just talks about like, these are really complicated songs. Like they're not just standard four chord songs. They have all these crazy chord changes that are not expected, like that you wouldn't expect them theory wise. And he's just making the point that like this is like pretty complicated music, so if people are getting into it, there's a lot to break down, and it'd be hard to write a song like this.
Yeah, that's one thing I did appreciate a lot about the album is that both Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars are like, insanely talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it really really reflects, even though a lot of their songs and stuff didn't quite click with me, I did enjoy like being able to recognize how good and talented they are, especially like playing a different genre to what they traditionally play as well.
Yeah.
Actually, you know who else has a YouTube channel where they talk about music? And this just came up for me randomly. He's actually really good. Is Justin Hawkins from The Darkness. And he even talks about Silk Sonic, but like he's got like a 10-minute video talking about them. And he's saying like, I think he was saying that they make him sick with jealousy just because he's like, it's just so good. That's kind of more or less what I thought about it. I really liked it. It's pretty short, so that there's not... I'm kind of looking like what songs I liked, what songs I didn't like. The songs I didn't love as much, I think, were Put on a Smile and Leave the Door Open also wasn't my favorite. But every other one I loved. Cat. It's not that I didn't like them. It's just that, I mean, there's not that many songs, right? So like the intro really counts. So Fly Is Me, I loved. After Last Night, it's really, really good. 777 and Skate, I love. And then there's just like two more songs besides that. And the outro, but it's also kind of Blast Off. Yeah, that was good, but again, not at the same level.
There were some songs that kind of passed me by. Talking about them being insanely talented, there's a few songs of Anderson .Paak I really like. And then with Bruno Mars, as much as I hate the kind of songs like Grenade, Uptown Funk, which is kind of maybe, I don't know, his first step towards this kind of music, was proper good. That was a really good song.
You know, Bruno Mars is also a great drummer.
Oh, I did not know that.
Not at the same level.
He drums in some of his songs, doesn't he? He drums in some of his songs in the videos. What was the one where they're all gorillas? There's a massive song.
Lazy something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not as good as Anderson .Paak, who's like actually a really, really good drummer. But Bruno Mars is still a very good drummer. I thought it's mirrored because like Bruno Mars is a better singer than Anderson .Paak is, even though they're both very good. But then Anderson .Paak's a better drummer than Bruno Mars is.
Yeah, they complement each other really well.
You know, you mentioned about the album length. I reckon that works quite well because, you know, they've got a residency this month in Vegas. I imagine that works really well for their live show because, like, obviously the album's, what, half an hour long or so? But they'll do loads of, like, riffing and probably a few covers of other stuff. Like, I imagine their live performance of this will be so good, especially in, like, a setting like Vegas where everyone's, like, basically there to party and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I'd love to go see them.
Yeah, that would be a cool night.
Yeah, so that's an evening with Subsonic.
Yeah, that's what it's like. I'm going to go to bed soon, to be honest.
All right, so I guess we're going back to the show and tell round. So each one picking one of our favorites, and we'll all listen to it.
I'm excited to hear what your left field option is, Zach.
Okay, I'll start. Only thing I'm a little bit worried about is it might be hard to say a lot about this album, but I mean, you know, we talked about three albums that round, so I think it's fine if there's not too much we can go into it. So the artist is Ray Lynch. So Ray, Lynch. And the album is called Deep Breakfast.
Deep Breakfast?
Deep Breakfast by Ray Lynch. It's from 1980.
Tell us a little bit about it to wet our palates.
I'm going to not do that, and then we'll talk about it later. So just go straight into it. Just see what you think.
Yeah.
What are you
about? You go first, Johnny. I'm just checking something.
Okay, I'm going to go a bit left field as well. I'm going to go with Labyrinth is a Euphoria project because it's a really varied album. So it's made specifically to kind of soundtrack the TV show Euphoria, specifically the first season. So it's really eclectic. Like you've got electronic to gospel to hip hop to like orchestral songs on it. It's a crazy mix and it's quite trippy, really well produced. So I really like it. So I thought it'd be worth you guys having a listen and see what you think.
So, the album's called Labyrinth.
Euphoria.
So Euphoria by Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I am gonna go for a live album called Musas by a Mexican singer called Natalie Lafourcade.
Okay.
Nice.
And it's sung in Spanish and it's called Musas, M-U-S-A-S.
Can you spell her name for us? Or last name?
This is where I struggle. Right. It's Natalia, N-A-T-A-L-I-A, and then Lafourcade, L-A-F-O-U-R-C-A-D-E.
All right. So that's Musas by Natalie. You said again?
It's Natalie Lafourcade.
Okay.
Well, I think. And it's worth watching a tiny desk.
And then Euphoria by Labyrinth. And then Deep Breakfast by Ray Lynch. Oh, yeah. And so Deep Breakfast. I don't know if any of you guys know that I like this album or this music. But I'm not trolling. I genuinely love it. So.
Okay. All right. I'm intrigued.
Check it out.
Yeah. So there's that one time where we did Amy Winehouse, Eric Hutchinson, Jack Johnson. So that was like the like funky kind of indie-ish round. This is going to be kind of like a more world music eclectic round.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, cool.
I'll just put a name in the group.
All right, well, that's it from us. So,
all right, have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
See you guys. Have yourselves, kiddos, and speak to you soon.
Will do, guys. All right, bye.
Bye.